Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and most commonly misunderstood topics on the entire specification: how the context of a UK city influences its functions and structure. Whether your case study city is Manchester, Birmingham, Bristol, or Leeds, the principles we're covering today apply to all of them. And trust me, once you understand these ideas properly, you'll be picking up marks that other candidates are leaving on the table. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Section 1. The big picture. Why does location matter? Let's begin with a fundamental geographical truth. Cities don't just appear randomly on a map. Every major UK city exists where it does for very specific reasons. And those reasons, the physical and human factors that shaped where the city grew, continue to influence what the city does today and how it is organised internally. Examiners call this the city's context. And context has three key components you absolutely must know: site, situation, and connectivity. Let's take each one in turn. First, site. Site is the physical land that the city is actually built on. Think of it as the ground beneath your feet. When early settlers chose where to build, they looked for flat land, easy to build on. They looked for a river, for fresh water, for trade, for defence. They looked for natural shelter from the elements. Take Manchester as our example throughout today. Manchester's original site was at the confluence, that's the meeting point, of two rivers, the River Irwell and the River Medlock. This flat, low-lying land in a river valley was perfect for an early settlement. There was fresh water, a natural crossing point, and the rivers provided some natural defence. Now here's the key examiner point. The site of a city influences its early functions. A river site meant trade and water-powered industry. A coastal site meant fishing and port activities. A gap in hills meant a route centre and market town. Site determines early function. Second, situation. Now this is where many candidates lose marks. They confuse site and situation and it costs them dearly. So let me make this crystal clear. Site is the physical land that the city is built on. The local, close-up view. Situation is the city's location relative to surrounding features, the wider, regional view. Manchester's situation? It sits in the northwest of England, in a lowland corridor between the Pennine Hills to the east and the Irish Sea coast to the west. It's roughly equidistant between Liverpool to the west and Leeds to the east. This situation made Manchester a natural regional centre, a hub connecting the industrial northwest. Here's a memory trick. Think of site as a selfie. It's all about the immediate, close-up detail. Situation is like a satellite image. You zoom out to see the bigger picture and the connections. Third, connectivity. This is the aspect that candidates most often neglect, and examiners specifically look for it. Connectivity refers to how well a city is linked to other places, both nationally and globally. Manchester today has exceptional connectivity. The M60 orbital motorway rings the city. The M62 connects it to Liverpool and Leeds. Manchester Airport is the busiest airport outside London, handling over 29 million passengers per year. Manchester Piccadilly connects to London Euston in just over 2 hours by train. And globally, Manchester is home to the headquarters of major multinational companies. It has direct flights to over 200 destinations worldwide. Its universities attract students from over 150 countries. Connectivity shapes function. A well-connected city becomes a financial centre, a cultural hub, a global city. A poorly connected city may stagnate economically. Section 2. Urban structure. The zones of a UK city. Now, let's move inside the city. Once you understand why a city exists where it does, you need to understand how it is organised internally. This is called urban structure, and it's usually described using a model of concentric zones, rings radiating outward from the city centre. There are four main zones you must know, and I want you to be able to describe each one with specific examples from your case study city. Zone 1, the Central Business District, or CBD. The CBD is the commercial heart of the city. It occupies the most accessible location, usually the historic centre, where all the main roads and railways converge. Land values here are the highest in the city, which means buildings are tall, maximising the use of expensive land. In the CBD, you'll find major retail stores and shopping centres, like the Ardell Centre in Manchester, office towers housing banks, law firms and financial services, hotels, restaurants and entertainment venues, cultural institutions like museums, galleries and theatres, and major transport terminals. The key characteristic of CBD buildings is that they are often a mix of old and new. You'll find Victorian civic buildings, town halls, libraries, courts, sitting alongside gleaming glass and steel skyscrapers built in the 21st century.
Zone 2, the inner city. Moving outward from the CBD, you enter the inner city, also sometimes called the zone of transition. This is one of the most geographically interesting zones because it has changed dramatically over time. Historically, the inner city developed during the Industrial Revolution, roughly 1750 to 1900. Workers needed to live close to factories and mills, so high-density terraced housing was built in a grid pattern, cheek by jowl with industrial buildings. In Manchester, areas like Ancoats, once known as the world's first industrial suburb, are classic examples of this Victorian inner city landscape. Today, the inner city is a zone of contrast and change. Some areas remain deprived, with older housing stock, higher unemployment, and social challenges. But many inner city areas have undergone regeneration, the process of renewing and improving run-down urban areas. In Manchester, the Northern Quarter has been transformed from a derelict warehouse district into a vibrant, creative and cultural quarter, full of independent shops, bars and tech companies. Zone 3, the suburbs. As you move further from the city centre, land becomes cheaper and more space is available. This is where the suburbs developed, primarily during the 20th century. Inner suburbs, built in the 1930s to 1950s, are characterised by semi-detached housing with small gardens. Outer suburbs, built from the 1960s onwards, tend to have larger detached houses, cul-de-sacs and more green space. The suburbs are predominantly residential in function, though they also contain local shopping parades, schools, parks and leisure facilities. Population density decreases as you move outward through the suburbs. Zone 4, the urban-rural fringe. At the very edge of the city, where urban land use gives way to countryside, lies the urban-rural fringe. This is a dynamic and contested zone, under constant pressure from urban growth. Here you'll find out-of-town retail parks and superstore complexes, business parks and science parks, attracted by cheaper land and good road access, housing estates on greenfield sites, land that has not previously been built on, airports and distribution centres, and recreational land, golf courses, country parks and nature reserves. The urban-rural fringe is significant because it represents the frontier of urban expansion. Planning decisions about whether to allow development here or to protect it as green beltland are some of the most contested in UK urban geography. Section 3. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. I've marked hundreds of GCSE geography papers, and I see the same mistakes coming up again and again. Let me save you from them. Common mistake number one, confusing site and situation. If a question asks you to describe the site of your chosen city, do not start talking about its motorway connections. That's situation. Site is the physical land, the relief, the rivers, the local topography. Situation is the wider locational context. A simple check. If you can describe it by standing in the city and looking at the ground around you, it's site. If you need a regional map to describe it, it's situation. Common mistake number two, generic answers without named examples. Examiners award marks for specific geographical knowledge. Saying the inner city has old housing earns you one mark. Saying in Manchester, the inner city area of Moss Side contains Victorian terraced housing built in the 1880s for mill workers and has experienced significant regeneration since the 1990s, earns you three marks. Named examples, specific details and accurate facts are what separate level 2
from level 3 responses. Common mistake number 3, forgetting connectivity. Many candidates describe site and situation well, but then neglect connectivity entirely. Always include a paragraph on connectivity: road, rail, air, and global economic links. Common mistake number 4, describing zones without linking them to the city's context. The higher mark questions will ask you to explain how the city's geographical context has influenced its structure. Make explicit links. That kind of analytical, linked response is what earns level 3 and level 4 marks. Section 4, quickfire recall quiz. Right, let's test what you've learned. Cover your notes if you can. Question 1. What is the difference between site and situation? Site is the physical land the city is built on. Situation is its location relative to surrounding features. Question 2. Name 3 features you would expect to find in a CBD. High land values, tall buildings, major retail stores, offices, transport terminals, civic buildings, hotels, and entertainment venues. Question 3. What type of housing is typical of the inner city, and when was it built? Victorian terraced housing, built during the Industrial Revolution, roughly 1750 to 1900. Question 4. What is the urban-rural fringe, and give 2 land uses found there? The zone at the edge of the city, where urban land use meets the countryside. Land uses include out-of-town retail parks, business parks, greenfield housing estates, and recreational land. Question 5. Name 1 piece of specific evidence about Manchester's connectivity. Manchester Airport handles over 29 million passengers per year, or the M62 motorway connects Manchester to Liverpool and Leeds. Section 5. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The context of a UK city, its site, situation, and connectivity, directly shapes its functions and internal structure. Cities developed where they did for specific physical and human reasons, and those reasons continue to influence the urban landscape today. The 4 key urban zones, CBD, inner city, suburbs, and urban rural fringe, each have distinct characteristics in terms of building age, land use, population density, and function. And the key to exam success is applying this knowledge specifically to your chosen case study city, using named examples, specific facts, and analytical links. Remember the 3 things examiners reward most: named examples with specific detail, use of geographical terminology, and analytical links between the city's context and its structure. You've got this. Keep revising, keep using those named examples, and good luck in your exam. See you next time.